So, even though I know this is used for music and conducting and all of that, so as we found out with Giraffe and Jackal, God is always present with us. Good morning, everyone.
Good
Today is Erica's and mine 11th wedding anniversary.
morning.
She's busy with the grandchildren. Erica, I've been married 11 years. Thank you, darling, for 11 remarkable years and many years to come. She let me be here on her wedding anniversary. Wow. So, for me, meeting Erica was a major waking up in my life. My wake-up call was that God is always mystically present with me and each one of us. And all the inhabitants and non-human inhabitants on the planet Earth, no matter what state we find ourselves in at any age. I mean, I was an old dog when I was Jackal. I was an old dog when I met Erica. True love is all about waking up to God in various events in our lives as we journey over the years. The spiritual importance of identification of waking up is a task that all of us have encountered as we've matured as individuals, as spiritual people. The Anglican Church is a part of the Celtic family of worship. We are Celtic Christians, and we're all mystically connected. It's both an exciting and a terrifying realization. We're going to explore more fully our Celtic Christianity in our book study in October. It's outlined in the bulletin. The idea of a life journey is not new. Human followers of God for over 2,500 years have been on this developmental journey. Our reading from the Old Testament this morning was about Moses and the burning bush. In the scripture, God commanded Moses to take off your shoes because the place where you stand is holy ground. Think about that. Take off your shoes because the place where you stand is holy ground. It's a fundamental to Moses' call to ministry. It's also fundamental to my own call to ministry because it indicates that we are always, when we turn aside to God with intention, we are in a way becoming holy. God is always present with us. But when we turn intentionally towards God, it is a holy moment. It's a waking up moment. Some of us have been to Iona, and we found that in that thin place, there's a whole adventure of holiness, but it's all over. It's holy here as well as holy there. We're on holy ground. And when we turn aside to mystical, spiritual people, and understand the presence of God is within us. It is our theosis. That's a nice technical word. As Moses did that day when he turned aside to see the phenomenon of the burning bush that did not burn up. He realized he was one with God and God was with him, and both are one with creation. That's the meaning of theosis. The burning bush is in all of us every time we've had a mystical experience. It's a moment of waking up. But there's more than just waking up. There's also the sense of growing up. And this is important. I've had a lot of waking up and growing up events in my life. This is the true for all of us. Some were good, some were not so good. But they're all part of the formational, developmental life journey that we're all on. An early huge waking up for me was in 1966. It's a long time ago, in St. John's Church in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, when I felt the call to become an Anglican priest. 60 years ago was that call, and it still resonates in my mind and my heart today. I felt at that moment that God was calling me to assist all of us to wake up and to be mature in our faith walk. This time of call came at a moment when I was studying developmental psychology at Acadia University, and especially the work of James Fowler. He was telling us about how we all go through a series of developmental stages in our lives. It was a new science 60 years ago. He was able to demonstrate it with various types of experiments, some of which I participated in. My call was enhanced at seminary through my learning of the broad scope of the Anglican Church. We were a mystical group. It was a foundation that led three fundamental insights from the seminary and the church shortly before and after my ordination in 1971. The first was that we are a mystical church in the Celtic tradition of Christianity, which is very different from the Roman tradition, which most people often wrongly associate with the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church understanding of God is closer to the position of the Orthodox Church, where we see God and humans being together as one with all creation, not apart from it. This is known as non-duality, or that word again, theosis. God is not remote and angry, but one with us in love. And we heard in the second reading today that James read about love and Paul's understanding of love. And that's our understanding of how God is with us, within us, and around us, and with all creation. It's important because it says that God is always with us from the time of our conception to the end of the universe. This realization was growing in the whole of the Christian church in the 1960s and 70s as the Holy Spirit brought change to all branches of the church. It was a percolation that's still going on. For some Anglicans, we see it as a Celtic golden cord of faith and belief. The second realization is that the Anglican philosophy of authority in the Anglican Quadrilateral is fundamental to Anglicanism. The church is based in four areas of authority: ministry, mystical sacraments, scripture, and reason. Each part of the quadrilateral is always developing and is of equal power with the other three within the theology of the church. 10 years after hearing my call in 1976, the church was starting to look through this new foundation of reason for the progressive understanding of God. It woke up to understand that God loves all of God's creation and that we are all in God's evolving, loving community, both Christian and non-Christian alike. There was a courageous movement towards the inclusion of women and gay people and lesbian people into full leadership roles as clergy with same-sex partners as well as same-sex marriage. There was an understanding that people could make mistakes in their marriage choices, be divorced, and be remarried. Children were seen as full people of God and could come to communion without confirmation. The theology of guilt and shame was removed from liturgy and music to be replaced with a theology of love and a movement towards unity. We intentionally worked in the spirit of reconciliation with First Nations peoples, making amends for our participation in the attempted genocide of them in our colonial past during the residential school fiasco. Most Anglicans embraced these movements of the spirit, but some did not join the evolutionary journey. Sadly, the ordained leadership of the church failed to teach this fully to the laity and to most clergy. The leadership were afraid of it, or thought it would spook the people. All of this came 50 years ago with the introduction of the Book of Alternative Services. and all the theology that's underneath it. It's still an alive and unfolding journey for us. The third thing that really influenced me in those early years was the sustaining call of ministry, was the realization of an Anglican acceptance that science is not the enemy of religion and spirituality. Mystical, spiritual people understood and accepted from the physical evidence that God creates through evolution. We're not afraid of evolution. I understand that God is an evolutionary force and that we are evolutionary beings on a planet that has evolved over 6.5 billion years and a universe that's ever expanding and evolving and which is 13.5 billion years old. We watch as things evolve into the future. We are called to be a church that doesn't back away, but looks ahead on a journey with God into the future, understanding that in waking up, faith is a verb. This waking up is joined with growing up. I understand and believe in today and for the last 25 years that is not the God that I understood when I was 6 years old, or as a teenager, or even in my early 20s. I'm on an evolutionary journey with God that is deepening my understanding. And that's true for all of us. We're all growing up. We're all growing older, and we're all on an evolutionary journey. And I invite you to see God in new ways as we journey. Today in 2026, through the science of the James Webb Telescope and other things, and there was a new telescope launched this morning, that we now understand that there are five new solar systems are created every minute of every day, 7 days a week. Wow, that's astounding. I hope someday to visit other parts of the universe. So we're growing up to have new understandings of God. Psychologist James Fowler and almost a dozen developmental psychologists who have identified that we go through stages of life as we mature. Ken Wilber, a developmental psychologist and philosopher, in his fundamental work called Finding Radical Wholeness, identifies four primary stages. The first stage is the magic stage, like some of the little guys over here, which is a time from birth to about the age of 4 years old. We believe in a reality that is fantasy-based. Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy are real. Then we move to the magic stage, to something which Wilber calls a mythic literal stage, from about the age of 4 or 5 to about the age of 14. It's our Harry Potter stage of fantasy, where life is fantasiful and creative. We want to make our fantasy literally true through action. It's important and creative as it helps formulate our mystical framework, connecting reality with imagination in many creative spheres of life. At 14 and upwards to about the age of 28, we gradually move into a third stage, which is the rational stage. It lasts for some people for the rest of their lives. It's a time when we review our lives, our beliefs, our relationships. We can, by that time, have made great and poor decisions regarding relationships, career, education, finances, and beliefs. It's a pretty complex time in our lives. Between the ages of 45 to 55, some begin to move to the fourth stage, but most do not. In Wilber's terminology, it's called the integrated stage, where all our values from various aspects of lives from all the stages before come together in a spirit of wholeness. And we have a bigger vision. We start to see it's not just Anglicans, it's not just Christians, but it's all people on the planet are created and loved by God. And there's a coming together of realization and acceptance and understanding. This maturing, growing up phase in our lives is where we echo St. Paul, where he said, "We put away childish things." We're both critical and not accepting of our life journey and, if possible, change direction from where we were. This time of being 40 is where people start to make big changes and they solidify them in the next 10 years. Equally, we may evaluate and are happy and content with our choices and carry on in a happy way. The challenge for the church is to help people move along this pathway of normal, maturing evolution, which is God-given. The sadness is that we often, as an organized church, both Anglican and non-Anglican, don't do it very well, and in fact, fight against it. Historically, we get stuck in the early stages because it's fun and easy. Church leadership often likes us to stay childlike because it's easy to control. And if I had more time, I'd give you lots of examples. The mystical understanding of Holy Scripture gets co-opted and abused to support this effort of keeping the members like children. I've been in churches where any kind of encounter of life issues were centered through magic answers that are invoked along with guilt instead of walking with the person in a mature, loving way. Shame is often heaped on individuals without an awareness and acceptance of their own needs and fragility. Mature, reflective ways are not condoned, and instead we stay with magic, literal themes and images, confusing genuine spiritual mysticism with the organized needs of the church. This often leads to the wounding of believers and loss of faith and membership. The Anglican Church is at work at addressing this for the last half century. Theology 76 called upon Anglicans to start to integrate their faith with their level of maturity. So someone who is in their 50s should have a mature understanding of faith as they mature. It should be an understanding similar to the other aspects of our lives. They don't have to go and be children in their belief when they come to church, even if it's emotionally appealing. We are called into the future towards a time of integration so that we face the issues in our later life. We face them as mature, independent thinking adults. We do this through connecting with our Celtic heritage as a unique Christian church. We're in what is known as the Via Media, or the middle life way. It's connected to the church that after the Council of Nicaea that broke from the established church-centered community, it traced its root to the Church of the Desert, the Fathers and the Mothers, and the church planting of St. Paul in the Celtic Empire in 50 AD in Turkey. This, in part, forms the Celtic tradition, which is often referred to as the Golden Cord of Faith, connecting to the Jesus-founded community in Jerusalem, the way with us as Anglicans. Today, part of the challenge for the church is recognizing that the younger generation comes out of school with a more mature understanding of life. That's beyond what we came out of school with at our time. The challenges of climate change and the death of the planet are before them. The terrible events in Nepal this week is a reminder and a waking up. They look at the church and what we offer and find it wanting, decide it's not for them and leave. St. Dunstan's, this community, is the exception to the rule where we offer programs through our various church activities that are designed to help individuals mature within the body of the church in healthy ways. I commend you here at St. Dunstan's and the lay leadership, as well as Clarence, for this being an example of the progressive ideal of the church. I think St. Dunstan's is a shining example of what the church can be and should be in the 21st century. So what does all this leave us? We are called to wake up in our everyday lives to the experiences of God around us and within us, knowing that God is on an evolutionary journey into the future with us all, that we are on the same journey with God. Our life journey, as we understand, is accompanied and accomplished through a growing up phased fashion. Those of us over 66 years old understand life differently than we did when we were 26. Equally, we understand it differently than we did when we were 3 years old or when we were 12. We're on an evolutionary journey of love with God. Our challenge is to reflect and integrate our spiritual life with the rest of our being. May we enjoy our journey with God as we move into the second quarter of this new century, as an alive people of God, loved by God who is within us and around us, and we are one with creation and with God, and God at one with us. May we all be blessed this day. May we be empowered as we receive the Eucharist to go and join together in the mystical celebration of God's love. Amen.